Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
24 years ago today, and the motto then was never forget, and here we are talking about it. We talked about it yesterday with Todd Zeal, obviously, who's down at Ground Zero today around World Trade Center at the I think it was engine number 3, ladder 12, and talking to first responders and all that stuff down there, so you know he's doing great work as the Mets were, but we have to start the show with acknowledging all those that sacrificed, the ultimate sacrifice, all those that, you know, wake up on this sad day, 9/11, and think back to that day where they were impacted, as we all were, on that horrific day around this country.
Yeah, of course, that's the only way to start the show. It's always a sad day. You know, the years just pass by really fast here. And, you know, to think, I lost a bunch of buddies. I've told you that before. Xavier High School brothers and my best friend's cousin was killed. She was at the Windows of the World restaurant. And it's crazy to think, like, the last time I saw them, they were in their mid-20s. And they'd be my age now, you know, some a few years older. So I think there's nothing that we can say that's going to change anything. We all know that. We say this because, you know, this city has historically been very tight and has looked out for each other. And it was amplified that day where and the ensuing months and the ensuing years where we came together. And it's always laced with sadness for those that we lost. But I got to tell you, man, I would be inauthentic and disingenuous. I'm not going to go on about this forever, but if I didn't say that, I'm even more sad today because, you know, the never forget applying to the people that we lost, that's still, that's in place still. And it always will be. And that's a great thing. But the unification that we had as a country and as a city then, it has gotten less and less and less as we've gotten further and further and further away from the events of 9/11. And, you know, we need to figure this out. And we're certainly not going to figure this out in a radio segment. You know, what happened yesterday, obviously horrific. It's just sad and it's frightening, really.
Well, what we could do is the thing that I like doing on this day when we have the forum to do it is just think back to that, because you're right. You could just say, well, never forget, never forget. And then by 24, 25 years, people actually do forget. And there is a divide in whatever aspect you want to bring up. Obviously, I know what you're referencing here. For me, when I was working at Home Depot at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember very well many people coming in and buying. Now, this is on out in Selden on Long Island.
Okay.
Obviously, we know where the World Trade Center attacks were and Shea Stadium. We talked about that being a hub.
But you're out there. You're probably about 30 miles out, right, at that point?
That's the point of this. Yeah.
Yep.
Like mid, Long Island, whatever.
Uh-huh.
People coming in buying shovels and masks and flashlights, like filling their huge, I'm talking about the big, like, lumber carts, not the. And it was just eye-opening to be on that side of it, all the way out there on the island where people were buying all this stuff to bring it to either the site, Ground Zero, or to Shea Stadium, bringing unison where, like, everybody that could potentially help in any way, shape, or form. Like, in those moments, there weren't, there was no divide. Mm-hmm. It was not about divide.
No.
It was about help any way we can. We're all under attack. This is a disaster of epic proportions. Let's help each other out. And I think over the years, 24 years later, you can say 20 years later, whatever it may be, it does get forgotten. No matter how many times we say never forget, never forget.
No.
I think for a lot of people, it does get forgotten. It shouldn't be forgotten, the unity that we had as a country, as a whole, especially in this town, in this city, during those horrific attacks.
There's nobody else I would want in a foxhole with me more so than New Yorkers. That's it. I mean, if something's going down, we're banding together. You know, I have, it's crazy too, because I have personal regret, and it's hard to verbalize, but it's, and to this day, it still bothers me. I'm just being very honest with you here. I was not here when this happened. I was in Detroit. It was my second radio job. I was just starting out, and I was on a bus with the Pistons.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle,
I've told you this. I tell the story. I'm not going to tell it again, but every 9/11. And I'm in the state of Michigan, and I can't get home. I can't communicate with anybody. I mean, it was terrifying. And then, you know, and it's funny, like when I say this to friends who were on the job, firemen still, they're like, dude, you're lucky you weren't here. You really are. You're lucky you weren't here. And there's a part of me that says, yeah, all right, I get it, maybe, but it's easy for you to say because you were here and you could help. You could at least try to help. You could go and search for bodies and just rip rubble away and try to put out the ashes and do what all the amazing people did that were on the job and, by the way, off the job. So as a guy who grew up going, you know, young boy, going to the Garden, going to Yankee Stadium, going to, obviously, Shea, my daddy, a Mets fan, like all these venues, all the highways, all the roadways, going to high school in Manhattan, to not be here, it still hurts me. I mean, there's nothing I could do, but I really wish I was here for it.
And then the sports aspect of it is such a huge thing. I know for me personally, even in my early 20s back then, I was like, man, it sucks, no football. Like, obviously, there were bigger things, but you're looking at it as an escape. It was a horrible reality that we were all in. Everybody had to be glued to the news because that's all there was to do. Everything was basically shut down. And I remember wanting sports to come back at some point so we could get back to that sense of normalcy. That's it, you know, it happened 10 days later on the 21st, the Piazza game. We referenced that, and even that had just an eerie feel, but it felt good to have sports there for us as an escape, which is what we try to do here, obviously, every day, regardless of the social climate, what's going on politically, the horrible thing that happened yesterday,
yep.
The reminiscing about 9/11. We use sports as an escape. At least I certainly do. Yep. And I know I'm not alone.
No, that's what keep we do. That's what we get paid for, yeah, man. Right. I mean, come on. This is what you and I do. And generally, these teams do give us an escape, although, I mean, I want to run away from both of these baseball teams right now. Dude, it is. I mean, anywhere you look, it's a train wreck.
You know, the one thing I was saying last night watching both these games, like, I've had it. There are, what, 16 games to go, whatever it is
Yanks
now?
Yanks have 17.
Okay, and the Mets have 16 games
I
to
think
go.
The yeah, Mets yeah, have 16.
Like, I've had it. I've reached my max. I'm not going to go nuts today about the Mets in the postseason or even the Yankees in the division. But overall, like, not only are sports supposed to be an escape, you'd hope that at some point they could be fun. Now, the Mets and Yankees still both have the World Series possibility in front of them. As much as we don't think it's likely, it's still a possibility. Getting to the playoffs, still a possibility. Once you get there, anything is possible. However, that does not absolve the torture that these teams have put us through this entire season. Post June 13th, it has been a mess, a frustrating mess for both the Mets and the Yankees. And I've reached my max, BT. Like, just not fun. It's not fun. Every night we're watching them, some nights they went okay, good, but it's more frustrating than it has been fun this year for both these
There's
clubs.
No question. And listen, let's look at it the way that we've done our jobs. Hey, we've done our job. During the winter, right before the season, Cohen issued a plea or a challenge, however you want to frame it, to Met fans. Hey, I've basically, without saying it, I've done my job. I've spent the money, show up, and come and support the team. Met fans have showed up in a way they haven't showed up since Citi Field opened and maybe since the, you know, the mid-'80s, okay? Met fans have just absolutely packed the place. Yankee Stadium's always packed. But in terms of, like, a top-to-bottom measurement, and of course Sal's right, yeah, there's a puncher's chance, you get hot, you know, obviously a World Series thing is still there until it's not. But I think everybody, this is going to sound harsh, but I really believe this, I think everybody associated with both of these teams should be incredibly embarrassed. I think that Cashman should be embarrassed. I think Stern should be embarrassed. I think Boone should be embarrassed. I think Mendoza should be embarrassed. I think star players for both of these teams should be embarrassed. Because, Sal, like, you always, although this appears to be a little more cyclical than usual, it's nuts, red hot, ice cold.
Yeah.
But there have been large swaths of this season for both of these teams where they have seemingly forgotten how to do the basic things required to win. You go 2 weeks without hitting a lick. You go 2 weeks where the bullpen can't get an out. You go 2 weeks, this is more of a Yankee thing, where you can't run the bases or catch the baseball. I mean, it's been some of the ugliest, quote-unquote, successful baseball that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and the reason why we maybe give them a pass to certain extents, because we've broken it down and gotten on them throughout the course of the year. But because of...
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, Search Boomer and Geo and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The way the sport is landscaped now, with the extra teams getting in, with the way the playoff format is, I have a hard time coming on saying the Mets are done, the Yankees are done, they're not going to go anywhere, because who the hell knows? I didn't think the Yankees, I used the example of last year, forget about years before, or what the Diamondbacks, Phillies, Rangers have done, whatever. Last year, I did not think the Yankees were really good, right? Like, a lot of people are saying that now, Buck Martinez, whoever, we've said that, like, the Yankees sloppy, whatever. But I said that last year, and yet they were in the World Series. So I'm like, man, they proved me wrong. Like, I don't think they're any good, but it took them to the World Series to get exposed. I think it's signed for that the majority of the time.
I remember saying it. You said it a lot.
Same thing with the Mets. I didn't think the Mets were any good. Matter of fact, I thought they were awful. I thought they'd never see 500 again after their start. And yet, then they went out there and had one of the more fun seasons in their existence, getting to the NLCS. So I can't bury them yet as far as the postseason and those hopes. What we can say is, from the Mets' perspective, this is nowhere near the fun that was expected to have, especially after last year.
Yes.
When you watch this team, like, something is clearly off. They have more talent, but yet they're nowhere near as fun and certainly not as consistent as they were a year ago.
No, they're not. They're really not. I mean, all we can do is contextualize what we watch every single night. You're right, too. To come up and get the tombstone out and say, you know, the Yankees are dead, the Mets are dead. Nobody's doing that because, as we know, they're not dead. But they're definitely not flourishing. And while they're not done, as you said before, I'll tell you what, they have woefully, both teams have woefully underachieved on the expectations for the regular season. And I mean what I said. I mean, Cashman should be embarrassed. Stearns has had a really rough year. Both managers shouldn't be embarrassed because their clubs have not been crisp, and it's their fault, or at least it's got to be dropped at their doorstep. So I don't know what to tell everybody. I think that the Mets, from the Mets fan perspective, which maybe is a little different this year than the Yankees, like, because the Mets last year were unexpectedly good and entertaining, and then you add Soto, you tack on more money, and it wasn't an unrealistic thought, but the thought would be incremental steps from last year, keep going forward, and build this thing into a powerhouse. And right now, the Mets look inept. And from a Yankee perspective, you're in the World Series where you were utterly embarrassed because fundamentally you looked broken trying to catch the baseball and run the bases. And you put out a product this year where your shortstops regress 30% of the, I mean, 30% if not more. You know, the more I think about this, maybe he should have been in the minors. I mean, really, the more I think about this, he is so broken at this point, and he's not the main reason, but he is emblematic.
They screwed him up.
Of the sloppiness and the disjointed mess that the Yankees have been at points this year. It's indisputable.
I guess with the Yankees, the results of where they're at, three games back currently of the division, is not horrible in accordance with the expectations. However, how we've gotten here with Volpe, with Dominguez, with Wells,
Devin Williams early,
with the sloppy play, like, there's been so much. So the results aren't far off from where many expected. Even if you thought they'd win the division, still three back, like, that's still very possible, especially with their soft schedule year. So that's not bad, but how they've gotten here continues to be maddening because they've done the same stuff for years. And with the Mets, it's about where they're at right now, because BT, the least of expectations should have been, okay, they may not go as far as they went in total last year, but they should be significantly better and more dominant than they were last year. Even if it doesn't mean division title, they should be on par with the Phillies and the Braves. I know the Braves had an awful year, but you get the point. And they haven't. They've been inconsistent in the regular season to a point now where they're putting themselves in a spot where they are in danger, in fact, of missing the playoffs. And I said this weeks ago, even though I think they're going to make it, like, Once it's decided where they finish, let's say they make it, to me, making it as a third wild card is still not good enough. Don't get me wrong. Like, just because I'm saying that I think they're going to make it and just get to the playoffs and we'll discuss it then, getting in by being the third wild card for where the Mets are at with their organization and payroll and talent, that's not acceptable. However, at this point, it's just get in, and then we'll worry about the rest.
Yeah. I mean, the season, really think about this, Sal. The season for both of these teams changed because of names that were only uttered like in the deepest, you know, darkest, like minor league level conversations that, you know, not you don't really have on the radio. I mean, the Mets season so far has been pumped, life has been pumped into it with the three kids on the mound. And from a Yankee perspective, again, a little less because it's only one guy, but Schlittler in a lot of ways, I know he was awful last start, mm-hmm. and let's see what he does tonight here, but the Schlittler emergence really started to change what I thought that the Yankees could maybe do in October, because he's got filthy stuff when he's on, and if you hit a little bit, that's the kind of kid who puts up seven zeros, and the Yankees can win a low-scoring game, which I didn't really see them winning before he emerged. So all the money, all the expectations, all the talk, all the juice coming in, all the success last October, basically, this season has hung on the arrival of McClain, Sproat, and Tong, and Schlittler. Let that resonate for a second.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.